Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. 7 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, May the 3rd. And coming up, we'll wonder how safe is our food and is the FDA doing a good enough job regulating food safety? Lots of people are wondering that again as the latest food scare, which sickened or killed thousands of pets around the country, seems to keep broadening every day. And there's also news that the same contaminant responsible for the pet illnesses and deaths could also have been fed to livestock, chickens and pigs, meant for human consumption. What's going on here, and how can we do a better job? We'll talk with a guest about that coming up in just a few minutes. But right now, we're talking about health of a different sort, the financial health of Wisconsin Public Radio. And joining me to do that, Wisconsin Public Radio's Assistant Talk Director, Cheryl Gasser. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Hey, Cheryl, we made our goal in the last hour and maybe even a little bit more than that. Right now, more than $1,100 raised toward that $1,000 goal.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much. Couldn't do it without you. And it's a new hour and a new goal. This hour, we are looking to raise $2,000 in support of Wisconsin Public Radio. And as an incentive, we have a challenge. When we reach that $2,000 goal, not $1,999, but $2,000, if we make the goal or exceed it, we will get an additional $1,000 from Dean and Mary Gagnon. So thanks to them. They're trying to encourage you to become a member of Wisconsin Public Radio during this hour. Perhaps if you're already a member, make an additional gift. You can pledge online at WPR.org or call in. Volunteers back in Pledge Central wanting to talk with you, 1-800-383-9772.
Well, that's a really generous challenge. Thanks very much to Dean and Mary for that $1,000 challenge grant. And it essentially, that just means your pledge this hour will count for more because your pledge will help us reach that $2,000 goal. I have no doubts that we will reach that $2,000 goal with your help. 1-800-383-9772, 1-800-383-9772, or WPR.org.
And we have these hourly goals to help us stay on track for our overall goal. If we make the goal last hour and this hour and next hour, the sooner we reach our goals, the quicker we reach our goals and exceed them, the sooner we'll be done. This drive, we need to raise a total of $275,000. We have already raised, thanks to you, you have already raised online before this morning, $23,000. And again, once we reach that $275,000 mark, we will end the pledge drive. So it could end, probably won't end today, but it, you know, it could end this weekend. It could, you know, the sooner the better, and the sooner we make these goals and exceed them. That's again why we want to hear from you now this hour. Don't wait, don't put it off. 1-800-383-9772, WPR.org.
Every pledge adds up. Your pledge will not only help pay for this program and be a generous contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio, but it may help us reach that $2,000 goal that we have for this hour. It could get us that extra $1,000 in the challenge grant, and it will help us get even closer to the overall goal for this drive. So do not wait. Do make that call now, because you listen to this program, you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio, you understand that listener support is vital to paying the bills at Wisconsin Public Radio and bringing you the service that you desire. 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772. Pledge any amount. It all adds up.
It really does. 1-800-383-9772 or online at WPR.org. Whatever Wisconsin Public Radio is worth to you, it's completely up to you. And your donation goes to pay for things like telephone lines and microphones and transmitters and electric bills, this sort of things that we have to do in order to bring you these programs. And quality radio is not cheap. It really isn't. And we know that you value it. You're listening right now. You want Wisconsin Public Radio to stay strong. We're a part of your day. We want you to be a part of our financial security. 1-800-383-9772. You can also pledge online, WPR.org. Our goal this hour, again, $2,000. And when we reach that goal, when you reach that goal, we will get an additional $1,000 from Dean and Mary Gagnon. Thank you so much to them. And if you've already pledged, thanks to you. If not, now's the time to go to the phone or go to the web and make that pledge.
Someone pledged $120, the first one that has been indicated on my computer screen for this particular hour, and that person is going to get the member benefit card. Any pledge of $10 a month or more, any pledge of $120 a year or more entitles you to the member benefit card. I have one, and I have used it at, I think, 3 restaurants in the Madison area, but there are restaurants that participate in this program all over the state of Wisconsin. I'm planning on using it when I visit Appleton in the next week or so. You get 2-for-1 entrees at the participating restaurants with the member benefit card. You get 2-for-1 admissions to a variety of different cultural attractions, and there are some other goodies with this card as well. It's our way of saying thank you for supporting Wisconsin Public Radio at the $120 pledge a year or more. That is, by the way, Cheryl, the only thank you gift that we have during this pledge drive. And I guess well-seasoned alert listeners might sometimes wonder, well, maybe that guest's book is going to be available as a thank you gift, or a CD or some other, you know, a coffee mug or something. We're not doing any other premiums, so don't wait for that particular opportunity during this pledge drive. Call in now because you want your contribution to pay for the programming. 1-800-383-9772.
And we do hear that time and again from listeners who call in who are eligible for premiums during other drives, who say, no, I want all of my money to go toward programming and keeping Wisconsin Public Radio strong. And so this drive, we know what you want to pledge for is the programming. 1-800-383-9772. Also pledge online, WPR.org. Any amount is welcome. What is Wisconsin Public Radio worth to you? Is it worth $10 a month, maybe a dollar a day, whatever is in your budget? It's up to you. But the most important thing is that you become a member of Wisconsin Public Radio. 800-383-9772, WPR.org.
You know, Cheryl, you and Leo Duran, my producer, and Karen Prager, who also is a producer of this program, Carmen Jackson, and others, you look for the very, very best topics that are out there for all of the programs on Wisconsin Public Radio. Producers, scour their sources and look around for the most interesting topics and issues going on in the news or going on culturally here in the state of Wisconsin, the nation, and the world. Then find the very, very best guest to talk with you about those topics. It might be a very renowned and knowledgeable professor. It might be a political activist who's really working on one side of a particular issue. It might be an expert who has advice on a particular topic. But we find the very best guests all over the world. We talk about a wide variety of issues and ideas all over the world. So you can become the most informed, educated, and a better citizen. And we hope these topics will help you lead a better life. If that's true for you, 1-800-383-9772 or WPR.org.
And there has never been a better time to call, because this hour, when we reach our goal of $2,000, we will get an additional $1,000 from existing members, their way of encouraging you to call. Thanks very much to them, Dean and Mary Gagnon. 1-800-383-9772 or WPR.org.
Your pledge right now might be worth double, because if we get that challenge, it's going to make your pledge go even further. 1-800-383-9772 or WPR.org. Thanks a lot, Cheryl. We'll talk to you a little bit later. And we will talk about food safety coming up after we check the weather. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. About 17 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, May the 3rd. And we'll talk now about how safe is our food. And is the FDA doing a good enough job regulating food safety? Lots of people are wondering that as another food scare is upon us, the food scare that sickened or killed thousands of pets around the country. Also, possibly was fed to chickens and pigs, and some are wondering, did it make it into the human food supply? This scare is on the heels of a salmonella outbreak in peanut butter, and then, of course, there was the E. coli outbreak in bagged spinach and some other bagged produce. Why is this happening? And is the government doing its job in keeping us safe from foodborne illnesses? A congressional hearing looked into this issue this week and heard from the likes of former FDA Chief David Kessler, who said, simply put, our food safety system is broken. Is it? And can it be fixed? And how concerned are you about this? 1-800-642-1234. That's our toll-free number to join in our discussion. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send your question or comment via email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Julie Caswell, professor and chair of resource economics at the University of Massachusetts Amherst. She is a founding member of the Food Safety Research Consortium and senior researcher at the Food Marketing Policy Center. And she has an outstanding educational background, having received her MS and PhD from the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And she joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome back to Wisconsin via radio.
Thank you.
So do you agree with former FDA Chief David Kessler, who says our food safety system is broken?
Yeah, I essentially do agree with him. I think we have a lot of distance to go to improve the system, and that will require considerably more resources and more attention to food safety.
Yeah, what's broken about it?
Well, what's broken about it is that with increases in imported foods and then a changing kind of structure of the types of risks we're facing with food, that we don't have enough resources and I think a sophisticated enough approach to assuring food safety, and we need to improve on pretty much all fronts.
Yeah, so not enough resources. We need more inspectors or what?
Well, we need more, not necessarily, people on the ground, but better inspection systems. And that requires understanding the range of risks that may be posed by food, and then having sampling or ways of monitoring those risks that are effective. And, that doesn't necessarily mean looking at every food product all the time, but a sampling technique that's really effective so that you find the risks and then respond to them. And another part of the problem is that, as we saw with the pet food situation, the risks are always evolving, and there's new risks to be found and to be reacted to all the time.
Yeah, put that into perspective for us. I've heard differing things, like government officials saying, no worry, it's not in the food supply, the human food supply or food chain. But then we hear that, some pigs were fed it and chickens were fed it, but oh, don't worry, it's not going to hurt you even if one of these pigs went to market. What is the situation?
Well, I think what the FDA has been saying is that some of this pet food did get fed to pigs and chickens, and that's not at all surprising because, pet food or animal feed is animal feed, and it goes into different parts of the system all the time. But what they're saying is that the quantities that were fed were very small and didn't have time to accumulate in the animals, and then when you dilute that down further to how much you might eat, that they don't see it as posing any individual risk to human beings at this point.
So right now, if I'm reading this information carefully, the food like the pet food or the whatever, was it the wheat gluten that had this melamine in it that sickened so many animals, killed so many animals. This came in from a Chinese company, and we don't have any system to inspect that food at all?
Well, we do inspection on foods coming into the United States. The FDA has an inspection system, and it involves some sampling of product coming into the United States at ports, and then they have a system where if they find a problem with a particular product, they could have an import alert which says this is a worrisome product, or even import bans, which they have put in place for some Chinese products at this point until they sort out what the issue is. So it's not the case that there's not an inspection system. I think what this is pointing out is that it's an inadequate system.
Yeah. Well, we have some callers, so let me bring in Joe in Lakeland. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'm concerned about the imported food. We had some imported food from India, and we got sick.
Mm-hmm.
It was bottled. And then I heard Hershey is now making their candy in China. There's no inspection on the chocolate.
Yeah. The imported food issue is a huge one for food safety controls, because as an importer of products, we have to have in place a system that can monitor the quality of incoming products, and that's an issue when the countries that the products are being produced in don't have as strong regulatory systems as we do in the United States, in which case it's the importer, which is the United States' responsibility, to have in place systems to ensure that the quality of the imported food is at least equal to the domestic product.
And so what do you think could be a fix to this situation?
Well, I think the fix is on multi levels. One fix is to work with countries that are producing the foods to have them have in place the regulatory systems that would produce high quality food and safe food, and then to have the inspection systems coming into the United States that check to see whether that has worked or not. So it goes all the way back to the producing country and then the inspection within the United States. And I would just emphasize that the imported foods, I don't think that there's evidence out there that imported foods are more risky than domestic foods. I think this improvement in the system would apply to both imported and domestic foods.
We'll go next to Rick in Cumberland. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for the program. I just have a question I hope you can answer. I live up here in the rural area, a lot of farming, and it's a concern to me that I've seen fields being fertilized with septic dump and also the turkey manure, and I thought that that was an issue with the avian flu virus, and I was wondering if you knew what the CDC standards were on that. I'll take my comments off the air.
I'm not at all expert on this particular topic. I know that there are standards for the use of treated human waste and on fields that are, you know, being used for food production or feed production. And similarly, I don't think there's an avian flu at this point in time concern with turkey manure.
Yeah.
But this is, you know, I'd take it to a more general level. There is in the food safety area concerns with essentially cross contamination from animal waste to food products. And in general, in the food system, there's a real need to pay close attention to that. The E. coli on spinach example, it's believed that that E. coli got on the spinach from animal sources. So in general, this is a big food safety topic.
Yeah. You want to comment on those who are very critical of how the government handled that whole E. coli on spinach scare? Because apparently these companies involved had been warned in the past, and it's just sort of up to them to inspect and make sure they're all right. There's nobody really watching what's going on there.
The Food and Drug Administration really does not have the ability to regulate at the farm level. And so if this is a concern, then a possible answer would be to look at their regulatory authority. We've had a series of these incidents with leafy greens and E. coli over a period of years now. And the response has been voluntary, good agricultural practices. And that's still where it stands at this point, is the discussion of what you should be doing and what is good practice, and not a regulatory response.
We're talking about food safety and food scares and what the FDA can or should be doing to keep our food supply as safe as possible. We'll talk more after we check the latest news. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Thanks to the pledgers who called in, $320 worth of pledges so far this hour. We have a goal of $2,000, and if we reach the $2,000 goal, Dean and Mary Gagnon will chip in an extra $1,000. We have a challenge grant going on, so your pledge right now this hour will go even further. 1-800-383-9772, the number to call to contribute to Wisconsin Public Radio to help pay for the programs that you value. 1-800-383-9772 or WPR.org. Thanks to you if you've already called in your pledge, or if you're already a member of Wisconsin Public Radio. We couldn't do this without you. Right now, we're talking about food safety with the toxic chemical melamine in pet food, with last year's E. coli outbreak on bagged spinach, a recent salmonella scare with peanut butter. We are talking about a congressional hearing this week that was wondering if the FDA was dropping the ball and how the FDA might change to avert problems like this in the future. And we welcome your questions for our guest, who is an expert on this. 1-800-642-1234. That's our call-in number, 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Julie Caswell is a professor of economics, also the chair of resource economics at the University of Massachusetts Amherst, a founding member of the Food Safety Research Consortium, and senior researcher at the Food Marketing Policy Center. And before we go back to the phones, Professor, what we need to do, in your opinion, to have a better food safety systems in this country?
Well, I think it's a combination of activities that could improve the food safety, and it begins, I think, with the Food and Drug Administration having a more of a presence in regulating the food system than it does at this point in time. One idea that's been put forth is for FDA to adopt a HACCP system, which is used in seafood and is used in meat and poultry, which changes kind of the locus of responsibility, and it says to companies that it is their responsibility to know what hazards may be in their foods and to control them. I think that kind of a regulatory switch would help. And I think the FDA needs more resources to be able to do the job adequately.
Yeah. I did read that the FDA had far fewer people in place that do are involved in the regulation or inspection of food compared to the USDA, which has a whole lot more.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it's a difference in the way that the inspection is done. The USDA in meat and poultry inspects on a continuous basis, so they have people in the plants at all times, which of course requires large numbers of personnel, as opposed to the FDA does not do continuous inspection. And I don't think anyone would suggest that the FDA go to a continuous inspection. It's very resource intensive. But what we really need to do is to be able to set up the systems that monitor food production without standing over the production process in every plant's not a feasible solution.
We'll go to the phones again. Edith in Madison is with us now. Hi, Edith, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you. Your guest's last name is Casswell. Is that Casswell?
Casswell.
Casswell. Okay, thank you. I am so very concerned about this whole area. I recently read a book about the exposing the incompetence of the Homeland Security Department, and the reason was because under the terms of the Patriot Act, the whole responsibility for inspection of imported food had been turned over to the Department of Homeland Security. Are you aware of that?
No, I'm not.
Well, that happens to be the case, and they have no money for this.
The inspection of imported foods is still the FDA's responsibility. There was, in the Homeland Security Act, it did have some new requirements for the amount of information that had to be provided for imported products, but the FDA folded that into the way that they do their import monitoring system.
Yeah, thank you, Edith. Mary in La Crosse, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you. A few months ago in the paper, in our local La Crosse Tribune paper, there was a small article, and it said that the government had improved the importing of cooked poultry from China. And I was wondering why in the world we were importing cooked poultry and what that product is going into. And I'm been waiting for a program like this, and unfortunately I just tuned in, but why are we importing so much? I don't understand why we're importing so much food from China when we have the capability in America for our farmers to produce that.
Well, it's the economics of food. So food is being sourced globally now, and it will be sourced from wherever it is, most inexpensively available for the quality. And so we are having lots of imports of fresh fruits and vegetables, and every conceivable type of product being imported to the United States. So it is the economic viability, and then what goes along with that, though, is if it's economically viable to import poultry products, cooked poultry products from China, then we need to be able to assure that the safety and quality of those products is equivalent to what's being produced in the United States.
Yeah, and do we know why, though, a Chinese company would want to put a chemical like melamine, which is, it's found in plastics, and it's a non-food thing. Why they would want to put that in this wheat,
well,
gluten?
You know, It is a, you know, it's an adulterant in the product. And from what I understand from my reading is that when you mix this into something like a wheat gluten, it makes that product test to be higher in protein. Mm-hmm. And the pricing of a product like this would be, you know, one of the factors that the pricing would be linked to would be its protein content. So it's essentially adulterating the product and representing it as being higher protein than it actually is to get a higher price.
I don't know in this specific case, but there could be rules in this country. Don't put, you know, plastic chemicals in pet food, but it would not necessarily be a rule somewhere else in the world.
Right. Mm. Or it could be a rule. I'm not familiar with what China's rules are on this. I presume that the rules are the same as we would see here, that this is not something you do. But then the question becomes, how much is that enforced, and to what extent are companies willing to violate the rule?
Yeah. Lisa in Beldenville. Hi, you're on the air. Lisa, are you there? Her question was about the proposal about country of origin labeling. Is that going to affect this at all?
Well, the country of origin labeling rules that were passed do not apply, at least currently, do not apply to certainly to pet food or to a lot of packaged mm-hmm. products. They were just for, they're in force right now for seafood, with seafood, meat, and fresh fruits and vegetables. So it doesn't apply in so far it's only been applied to seafood. One caution that I would have about country of origin labeling is that you might be able to identify what country a particular product comes from. You know, it comes from China or it comes from whatever country. But I don't see much close correlation between it's from a particular country and whether it is safe or not. Mm-hmm. Those are really, they're not one-to-one. And so I question to what extent country of origin labeling provides really useful safety information.
Yeah, so do you expect that Congress might be moved to authorize our FDA or federal regulators to monitor food imports more closely following especially this pet food scare?
Yes, mm-hmm. But again, I would reiterate that we not focus too singly on imported foods, because the E. coli situation, the mm-hmm. salmonella situation, many of these things are happening or are concerns with domestic food as well as imports.
We'll have to leave it there. Thank you so much for being with us.
You're welcome.
We thank our guest. She is Julie Caswell, professor and chair of resource economics at the University of Massachusetts Amherst, founding member of the Food Safety Research Consortium, senior researcher at the Food Marketing Policy Center. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. 11 minutes before 8 o'clock and after 8, we're going to talk about liberalism. What is it, and why does our guest say it's under attack, and why does he say it works? We'll talk about liberalism coming up after 8 o'clock. Right now, we're talking about Wisconsin Public Radio's Spring Pledge Drive, and Cheryl Gasser joins me once again. Cheryl, $420 raised toward a $2,000 goal, which is a nice start, but got a ways to go to get that goal. And if we get the goal, a very nice challenge going on right now.
If we reach that goal, when we reach that goal, when you reach that goal at $2,000 for the hour, in the 7 o'clock hour, by 8 o'clock, we will get an additional $1,000 from Dean and Mary Gagnon. We don't want to let that challenge grant slip away. And the only way we're going to get it is if we reach the $2,000 goal in the next 10 minutes. 1-800-383-9772. WPR.org is another way to pledge online. It's safe and secure because you care about your health and the health of the world around you. And because Joy covers issues like this on a regular basis, become a member of Wisconsin Public Radio and become a member during this hour. 800-383-9772.
Cheryl, I was so confident when we started the hour. I said, I have no doubt we're going to reach that $2,000 goal. Well, gosh, I'm getting a few doubts right now. But with your help, if you go to the phone and make your pledge of whatever amount, someone else will also call in a pledge of some other amount. They all add up. We can make this $2,000 goal and then get that extra $1,000, which will go a long way in helping to pay for the programming that you value. It'll help pay for the toll-free telephone line that you can call in and use for our call-in discussions or for the phone bill in general for us to find these great guests from all over the world to talk with you each and every day. Lots of expenses involved in running a radio station and putting on the programming that you value. Your pledge helps pay for all of it. 1-800-383-9772, 1-800-383-9772, or WPR.org.
Wisconsin Public Radio covers politics, the media, the economy, your health, the environment, and more. Every issue is important to us and to you, and we cover issues that we know you want to hear about. It's a grab bag every morning, 15 hours a week. Joy is here for you, covering issues that matter to you, that really have an impact on your life, like this hour that we talked about, and last hour, how to enrich your life through travel. There are so many programs that we bring to you, and we couldn't do it without listener support. 1-800-383-9772 is the number to call. You can pledge online at WPR.org. But if we do not reach that $2,000 goal, we'll lose out on that $1,000, and that would be a shame. We really want to hear from you now during this hour.
You know, Cheryl, I was thinking of all the wide variety of issues and guests that we have had on this program just in recent weeks, and there have been a lot of them, and we do try to cover a wide variety of issues, but I'll have to say that the war in Iraq has been an issue, really, that has dominated the news, and we have certainly tried to follow as closely as possible. It truly is the issue of our time, and we have had many different perspectives on this, from political science professors to politicians to people on the left and people on the right, people who are arguing let's bring our troops home now, to others who say that no, we can't do it right now. We've talked about should Congress defund the war, or is there another approach? Had a former Iraqi government official on this program just a week or so ago, so you had an Iraqi perspective as well on the war. So we do try to look for all those different perspectives so you hear all sides of the issue, and we hope that you will say thank you for all of those discussions with a pledge of support right now to 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772.
What is Wisconsin Public Radio worth to you? You choose the amount. You choose how to pay, with a check, a credit card, electronic funds transfer. And you choose to call or go to the web and become a member. 1-800-383-9772, WPR.org. Our goal this hour, $2,000. We want to stay on track hour by hour to reach our overall goal for the drive. And as soon as we reach that goal for this drive, we will end. If it happens today, we'll end today. If it happens on Sunday, we'll end on Sunday. It's completely up to you as to how quickly we reach the goal. That's why we want to hear from you during this hour. And again, an extra $1,000 when we reach that $2,000 goal. Just the next 6 minutes to call, 1-800-383-9772.
In fact, I might as well give an update on the overall goal. There has been $28,440 raised so far. That's from the online pledges and so far since the on-air pledge drive began. So
thank you.
Once we reach that, that means that's there's 246,000 some to go. And once we reach that overall goal, the pledge drive ends. Right now, though, only 5 more minutes to go in order to reach the $2,000 goal for this hour. And we have $700 raised toward that goal.
We can do it. Yep. You can do it with your call. We have 5 minutes left during this hour, and the time is now. Don't wait. Don't delay. 1-800-383-9772. It's a unique service that you're not going to find anywhere else, and it costs money to put it on the air. Joy is smart and fair and fun. It takes a lot to be prepared for the variety of topics that she covers each morning, and she is. She's prepared. She does an amazing job for you. And we want to hear from you with your pledge of support for what Joy does, the guests she brings you, and the amazing job she does for you with your pledge of support. You'll let her know that you value the programming. 800-383-9772.
I am blushing, and I want to give credit where credit is due. The producers, it's really a team effort here where I am, my preparation is aided immensely by all of the work of the producers of these programs, and it really is a team effort. We all work together to bring you the very best programming possible. And listener, you're a part of that team, and you call in and ask really smart questions of our guests when you call in. Our guests always comment on what an intelligent audience we have, and we agree. And we appreciate your participation that way. Right now, we need your participation with a pledge of support. If you're not already a member, or if it's been a while since you made a contribution, 1-800-383-9772.
We have a goal this hour, $2,000. When we reach that $2,000 goal, an additional $1,000 will be given to Wisconsin Public Radio from Dean and Mary Gagnon. This challenge grant will actually help the drive end sooner, mm-hmm. because as soon as we reach our overall goal, the drive is over. We go back to regular programming. Don't wait. Make your call now.
We only have about 3 minutes to go in the program. We are almost at $1,000. I mean, that's wonderful. $1,000. Thank you for everybody who's called in so far. But we need you to go to the phone to help us reach that $2,000 goal to get this extra $1,000. 1-800-383-9772 or WPR.org. Don't let this $1,000 slip through your fingers. 1-800-383-9772.
Wisconsin Public Radio educates, informs, entertains, and inspires, and I hope that you are inspired right now to go to the phone and become a member of Wisconsin Public Radio. 1-800-383-9772. You can also pledge online at WPR.org, and any amount is welcome.
Thanks to Faye and Jack and Sullivan for calling in a pledge this hour, I believe, who say that Wisconsin Public Radio is enriching and empowering. Wow. Thank you very much. I agree. Do you agree? 1-800-383-9772. Susan in Dousman, thank you for calling in a pledge. Susan says she has learned so much about world affairs listening to Wisconsin Public Radio. That's what we're here for. Suzanne, world affairs and national politics and national affairs, and right here in the state of Wisconsin as well. 1-800-383-9772.
Because you care about your neighborhood and things going on halfway across the globe, and because Wisconsin Public Radio and Joy's show covers these issues from a variety of perspectives, make your pledge of support. Do it now. Just a minute left to go. Keep the calls coming through the news. You want to reach that goal. 1-800-383-9772, WPR.org.
Thanks to Roger and Lamira. Roger calls in during this program a lot. I appreciate your support with your pledge, Roger, saying that Joy and her staff have brought issues like family law and speakers on behalf of men and women who need equal representation in court. Thank you very much, Roger, for your pledge. How about you? Whatever the reason, whatever the amount, 1-800-383-9772. A very good reason to make that pledge that helps pay for this program is that we have a $1,000 challenge hanging in the balance. We're not yet at the $2,000 goal. We are very, very close, but not there yet. Your call will put us over the top. 1-800-383-9772. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.